Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This series of studies explores the letter of the Apostle Paul written to the Romans. So far we have covered 14 chapters. If you missed any of the previous studies, you still have access to them. The podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. In our previous study, we spoke about striving for unity by mutual acceptance and support. We have said that Christians shall respect different opinions of others on matters which are neither ordained nor forbidden in Scripture. No one shall judge others or act in such a way to become a stumbling block to the faith of others. Instead, the practice shall be to accept each other in love and to offer support to fellow believers. The aim of whatever we do and say as we live together in community is not to please ourselves, but to build up others and to bring glory to God. Today we would like to move on and reflect on the theme, Inclusion, Christ for all people. So, where do we start? Well, there is but one place to go to, Holy Scriptures. Let us listen to what St. Paul writes in his love letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 8 to 13.
For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
The laws of many countries lay out equal rights and duties for all citizens. Everyone is supposed to have access to the same services. Everyone is supposed to benefit from the same facilities. Everyone is supposed to be treated with fairness in the same way. There shall be no discrimination, no prejudice, no favoritism. The letter of the law prescribes equality and inclusion. In practice, however, many times the results are exactly the opposite. Not everything is for everybody. It is said that all are equal, but in reality it seems that some citizens are more equal than others. If we go to Scriptures and look how God deals with humankind, we can clearly notice that God is a God of inclusion. He is God of all people in the same measure, in the same degree, and in the same way. True, in Old Testament times God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. However, the election of Israel did not exclude other nations of God's love. Israel was God's starting point, through whom he aimed to reach all the peoples of the earth. When God first called Abraham and promised to make him into a great nation, he added the promise that through Abraham, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. How would that be fulfilled? As God worked in and for Israel, the Gentiles heard and took notice of God's mighty and gracious deeds. In other words, through Israel, God's love should become known to all other nations. So Israel served as a channel through which God reached the Gentiles in order that they might glorify God for His mercy. Most importantly, all the peoples of the earth should be blessed through Israel in the coming of the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was born from Israel. His mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph were Israelites. Once Jesus was born and engaged in his ministry, he worked mainly among Israelites. The apostle says, Christ became a servant to the circumcised. By circumcised are meant Israelites or Jews, if you will. The fact that Jesus worked mainly among Jews, however, did not exclude people of other nations. In fact, several occasions can be spotted in the Gospels when Jesus related to and engaged with Gentiles, that is, people other than Jews. Whereas in Jesus' day exclusion was a common practice, Jesus taught and practiced inclusion. He made friendship, went to the homes and shared with the outcast and discriminated in society of those days. He revealed his love in equal measure to all people he met. Now, as Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, he emphasizes that Christ is for all people. Let us remember that the readers of Paul's letter were both Gentiles and Jews. The apostle quotes several passages from the Old Testament in which God's prophets looked ahead to the day when Jews and Gentiles will worship God together. The Gentiles will praise and sing to God. The Gentiles, side by side with the Jews, will rejoice in the salvation in Jesus Christ. That day has come in Christ. In Christ, Jews and Gentiles are united in one community to glorify God for His mercy. Christ is for all people. His saving work on the cross reaches out to all nations, of all times and at all places. After all, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Who is the world? The world is Jews, is Gentiles, is people of all the continents. The world is each and every tribe, each and every nation. God so loved the world. That means you are included. You are loved by God. Christ has been given for you, so that believing in Him, you may have eternal life. The Apostle Paul has been a precious instrument in God's hands to take the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. He speaks about this in his letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 14 to 21.
I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand.
Paul addresses his readers in an intimate way, calling them brothers, that is, fellow believers. He praises the Christians in Rome for their goodness, that is, their high moral character. He also praises them for their knowledge of the Christian doctrine and their ability to instruct and encourage each other. Paul had never been in Rome, and consequently he had not founded the church in that city. For this reason he must be careful how he deals with the church. He did not want to jeopardize his relationship with the believers in Rome by seeming to be insensitive, presumptuous, or unloving. So he reminds the Romans gently of some points which they knew but could easily neglect or even forget. One of these points was that God loves equally Jews and Gentiles. Paul says to the Romans that in Christ there is no exclusion. Rather, Christ is for all people. This was particularly important for the church in Rome because it was made up of Gentiles and Jews alike. To maintain unity between both in the community, mutual acceptance and support were essential. A second point Paul reminds his readers of is that God gave him the grace to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Paul did not appoint himself as minister of Christ, but it was God who appointed and commissioned him to preach the gospel, particularly to the Gentiles. That is what Paul is stressing. He was a minister of Christ Jesus, an instrument chosen by God and sent by God. Consequently, Paul was in a position to write to the Christians in Rome to instruct them, to admonish them, to comfort them. Paul carried out his work as a minister of Christ to the Gentiles, traveling to many places of the world known in those days. He was mainly an evangelistic missionary whose ambition was to preach the gospel not where Christ had already been named, but where Christ had never been announced before. Paul expresses his joy of being a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He says, "In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God." Paul did not boast in his accomplishments as if he had done great things due to his wisdom and effort. Paul was proud of his work in the sense that God honored him to be a messenger of good news. Paul was proud in what Christ had accomplished through him. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are studying St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We have talked so far in this study about inclusion, that God is a God of inclusion, and that Christ is for all people. For this reason, God appointed the Apostle Paul and many other ministers over the years to proclaim Christ's salvation to all people. Let me share a few bits of my own experience as a minister of Christ Jesus. I was born and brought up in the very south of Brazil, a region highly populated and well developed. In the 1980s, the church sent me to the far north of Brazil, in the Amazon region, to do mission work. A distance of about 3,400 miles separates my hometown from the place I was sent to work. The whole region of my working field was very little developed, but now it experienced a boom. People from many other regions of the country were moving to this Amazon region with the aim to establishing themselves and making a living. You can imagine, I suspect, that such a move represented a huge challenge. Transport conditions were precarious. Health services were poor for a demanding population affected by various diseases, particularly malaria. Schools needed to be built and properly run. In short, the very basic living resources were short indeed. When I decided to go to that area and work in those conditions, some people called me a fool. I have been questioned, "Why are you doing that, considering there are other places to work under much better conditions?" Somehow, nonetheless, I was sure that God wanted me to work in that region. And you know what? I have no reason whatsoever to regret. It became more and more certain to me that God is a God of inclusion, and Christ is meant for all people. The missionary work in that Amazon area was richly blessed, and a congregation has been established. You know what mostly impressed me? What mostly impressed me and remains a vivid picture before my eyes to this day is that the congregation was made up of a variety of people. People from different parts of the country. People of a variety of ethnic and cultural origins and backgrounds. People of a variety of accents. People of a variety of skin colors. A variety blended together in a unity. A multicolored picture of people brought together by faith in Jesus Christ. Who can deny that God is a God of inclusion? Who can deny that Christ is for all? The mission of the Apostle Paul was to take the gospel of Jesus to all people. One of the places he wanted to visit was Rome. He talks about his plans to go to Rome in his letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 22 to 33.
"This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this, and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that in my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
We have said earlier that Paul never had been in Rome, and consequently he did not found a church in Rome. Paul longed for many years to go to Rome and to share the gospel with the Romans. So far, nonetheless, his plans had been hindered for some reason. The Lord took him to several other places on missionary journeys. Consequently, working commitments prevented Paul to travel to Rome. But now it seemed that plans could be set up anew. Paul writes to the Romans, "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while." Apparently, Paul's plan came true some time later. Before that, however, Paul planned to go to Jerusalem. Christians in Jerusalem were facing hardship at that time. Apparently, they were poor and a famine broke out, so they needed help. Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, mainly Gentiles, collected a contribution to relieve the needs of the Christians in Jerusalem, mainly Jews. We can see here Christian faith working in actions of love. Christians of one place, having been favored by the gospel, step in and give support to Christians in need in another place. Once the contribution was completed and gathered, Paul wanted to deliver it in person to the Church of Jerusalem. After doing that, Paul planned to set out to Rome. Those were the plans of Paul. But he knew that his plans depended on God's will. Therefore, he requested strongly the Christians in Rome to pray for him. He writes, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." In his journeys and in his missionary work, Paul faced adversities and enemies. So he asked for the prayers of the Romans that God would guard him and give success to his plans, including the plan to go to Rome, and there enjoying times of joy and refreshment in the company of the brothers and sisters. This episode gives us encouragement in two practical ways. One, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. A second encouragement of this episode is that we pray for each other, particularly for ministers of Christ and missionaries, placing them, their journeys, and their work in God's care. In summary, what has been said in this study is that God is a God of inclusion, and Christ is for all people. He opens his arms to you, to the people of your family, of your neighborhood, of your country, and of the whole world. Christ died and rose for all and wishes all to come to faith in him and be saved. Eventually, at the end of times, God will gather together in his presence all believers. The Apostle John was given a vision of what this final gathering is going to be like. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, John describes this spectacular scene in this way. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk. Locate on the website directory, and there you will see a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week for our last study of the series on the Love Letter to the Romans. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned in to Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.